to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White, and joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. Every time you ask me that question at the start of the podcast, I'm reminded of a guy that I used to work with at a hardware store when I was in high school. And Eric would answer every time he was asked how he was, he'd be, very best, any better, and there'd be two of me, was his kind of standard line. And I don't know. I need to polish on work on my delivery so I can maybe do that next time.
I think that would be preferable.
You know? Well, you know, I will tell you one thing about that guy is if everyone could was as good as customer service as Eric Till was at the hardware store back when I was in high school, the world would be a better place. But nevertheless, we digress. We're not here to sell lumber, I don't think.
Not that I'm aware of, no. But we are going to be talking about what happens when you kind of fall into a B2B marketing role and truly love it.
Yeah, and kind of what kind of initiatives and you unlock as a part of doing that. I think it's going to be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. So joining us today is Jackie Slatt. Jackie is the Director of Marketing Communications at eTech Group. Welcome to The Cooler Ring, Jackie.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, guys.
Jackie, we are excited to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us. I'd like to know a little bit more about eTech, if you would, off the hop here.
Yeah, we are one of the largest system integrators in North America. Actually, now the globe. Just yesterday, we announced the full integration of our latest acquisition, JSAT Automation. So now we have more than 30 locations across the globe. Have more than, let's see, I think we're about 750 team members, about 550 or more engineers. So we're growing rapidly and kind of figuring out as we go along.
Very cool.
Very engineering heavy. Yeah.
And I mean, it's an exciting time to be in the industrial automation space, and systems integrators are certainly central to that. I wonder, Jackie, you kind of described yourself in our pre-call to the show as the accidental B2B marketer. So I guess tell us a bit about yourself. How did you end up there, and what accident caused you to get into B2B?
Yeah. So I am, oh my gosh, out of college now for 18 years. And when I graduated college, I really saw myself working in a consumer facing marketing role, probably just because of the experience working in high school and being in retail. But I also in college had completed the Disney College program, and I really saw myself moving to Orlando to work in Disney World and have all kinds of fun. But graduated college, I worked at a local water park in their marketing department, and the water park closed down a little unexpectedly, and our parent, that the water park's parent company, retained me, and they were, their other job was in commercial real estate construction and development. So that is how I accidentally started marketing to B2B and stayed there for 10 plus years, figuring out kind of growing up as well. Got married, had some kids, and then joined eTech Group almost 4 years ago now, in a marketing role. So yeah, very much not what I had planned to do when I graduated college, but it's been fun and challenging in different ways and rewarding. So that's why I'm still here.
Yeah, that's a heck of a bait and switch, isn't it?
You know, an entire lack of Mickey Mouse at the current job, I'm guessing.
I know. I try to bring it in with me.
Singing Small World on your way into the office.
Yes.
I mean, look, I don't want to force too many parallels, but you know, the one thing, especially an organization like Disney is very well known for, is that customer is basically an obsession with customer experience. And, you know, if that's the kind of sensibility that you're bringing to B2B, that is not a bad thing at all.
No, I think sometimes it's overlooked. And I get, before I completed the Disney College program, I would not say that I was I wasn't not a Disney fan, but I think working there gave me a different respect for the level of detail and storytelling they put into everything they design. And I've tried to carry that in to even like B2B. There's still business decisions and you have to reach people on a logical sense, but there is still an emotional storytelling that you can bring to any decision, whether it's B2B or B2C, that part of the human doesn't go away just because you're in a business setting.
That's a really nice way to put that. How have you approached that and tried to bring those stories to life?
Well, I think one of the things when I said for 10 years, I worked in a commercial real estate and construction company. And when I started working there, I had not completed a single real estate transaction, commercial or residential. So I was kind of going in completely blind to that world. And the same thing when I transitioned to my role at eTech Group, I didn't know what a system integration meant or what they did, but there is, while I don't know the technical side, and still I'm not an expert in system integration, I'm not an engineer, and I was never an expert in construction, commercial construction, or commercial real estate, but you can still tell the story and get the high level, like, this is the result, this is what happens, this is what we can provide, this is the pain point that we can eliminate. And in both the roles that I've worked in, we're looking to work with customers or our clients for a long time. Like, ideally, we want them to want to come back and work with us again. So you do still need to highlight the person, because what you're really trying to say is, you know, you can work with anyone for this job, but you want to work with us because we are technically able to do it. But also, you should want to work, like, who you're working with. That's going to make the relationship and the project a lot more successful if you can have that open communication, and even being able to tell, like, yeah, you know, hey, this isn't going the way we want it to. These are our ideas to fix it. If you can have that base relationship, that's going to make that conversation a lot easier.
It's interesting in B2B. I find that, you know, oftentimes, yes, I mean, B2B salespeople are interested in cultivating those relationships. But, you know, oftentimes in marketing, beyond the sales organization, we kind of, I don't know, I think sometimes we choose to emphasize, you know, product features or unique capabilities or unique verticals that we serve. But you're talking about, you know, having more of your marketing bring an emphasis on the people that make the organization tick as a way of cultivating relationships more broadly than sales. I think that's really, really smart, Jackie. I'm curious, what kind of different marketing tactics has that come to life as you tried to make the people of the organization, if you will, the hero of your marketing?
No, this has been really exciting, and I will say, not every engineer wants to be the feature of our marketing. So you got to find the right people who want to kind of dive in. But there are those people, and they, when kind of strategizing for eTech Group for this past year, we were looking at, like, okay, you know, we want to highlight our thought leadership. How can we do this? We had been producing a lot of written pieces for both our website and for third-party publications, but we were producing these pieces by kind of conducting interviews with our technical people. Like, tell us about this project. Tell us how did this work? What was the result? And having these really great conversations. And one of our third-party agencies that we worked with was like, you guys should do a podcast. And we were like, I don't know. There's probably enough podcasts out there. We don't need more. And then we kind of thought back, we're like, wait, we kind of already are. We're conducting these Teams interviews, we're talking with people and just turning it into written content. But it's so much more engaging to hear someone talk about it, to hear them get excited about the technology that they're using, how it's being implemented, and the impact it's having for our clients. So then we kind of stepped back and we're like, well, this actually probably is a pretty good idea. And we were seeing a decline in people reading our written content. So we were like, let's dive in. Let's start a podcast. So that's been our big, one of our big initiatives for the year is we launched earlier, the end of June, the Beyond Tech eTech Group podcast, which we are 5 episodes in now. So that we're well on our way. And it has been a fun challenge to, you know, not something I thought I would end up doing, but here I am.
Well, and I appreciate, Jackie, that 5 episodes in, I mean, we're not, you know, you're going to be naturally a bit reserved about how much you, you brag about it. But I think at the same time, it's, you know, 5 episodes in, you're producing enough that you've worked out some kinks, and you've seen how people are interacting with it. One thing, curiosity that I have, as you talk about shifting a bit from doing these interviews for a written output versus for a podcast, have you noticed in these first 5 any kind of differences in the propensity of the employee to share the content, i.e. if they're being interviewed for a written piece versus being interviewed on a podcast, is one more likely to be shared by the employee than the other?
Yeah, I would say, and I don't know if it's, you know, if it's totally just because it's a podcast or if it has to do with the LinkedIn algorithm more, or possibly also we're doing a better job of promoting internally. Hey, there's a new episode that's out. Share it on your own podcast. And we've been strategic thus far in the episodes that we've produced. There are people who were already superstar content producers that we were leaning on already. So maybe we've just kind of trained them better to be like, hey, we put this out. Make sure you share it on your own LinkedIns and with your own networks. We have plans to kind of increase the frequency of our podcast next year. So I'm starting to think now it's, the fourth quarter of 2025. What kind of episodes are we going to shoot for to release in 2026? What are we going to talk about? Thus far, they've been kind of focused around the services that we had bigger campaigns around. So we were producing additional content or possibly doing a webinar, had some written pieces. You know, we had other elements that the podcast was just one part of this overall campaign. By increasing the frequency next year, I think we'll be able to cover a few more, a wider range of topics, I should say.
And you're producing an episode a month currently?
Yes. I believe. Yes.
So I'd like to explore a little bit sort of a bit more tactically about how you're bringing this to life, because I think, you know, we're 350 some odd episodes deep on this. So it's kind of, you know, old hat a bit for us in terms of how we produce our podcast. But, you know, a lot of our listeners have never done this before within a B2B context. And I'm sure there are some things that you've learned along the way about how you do this and what you've figured out about, you know, just the mechanics of producing a podcast that I think would be pretty interesting to our audience. So what have you learned so far and you know, what's been pretty interesting to you?
Yeah. So it was when my boss was like, yeah, let's do this, Jackie. Let's launch the podcast. I certainly had a lot to learn because I it wasn't a world that I was a part of. I would say I did quite a bit of research just online, what does it take to start a podcast? I talked to our couple of our agencies that we worked with to lean on them and say, what do I need? How should I prepare for this? I don't know if I might not be the best example for this because I don't know if I'm the best prepared person, but I was like, all right, let's just create an account on Spotify and see what we need to create. But ordered, you know, there were a bit of equipment to make sure that we had mics and an account with Spotify. And then what do I need to get it to go to the, you know, not just Spotify, but we want it on Amazon. We want it on Apple. How do I connect all of those? Which I was like, oh, okay, I need an RSS feed. I still don't know what that is, but I got it. and as far as preparing for content, it took some looking at our strategies for the year of like, we know manufacturing intelligence or business intelligence is important across the manufacturing space. More and more clients are trying to figure out how they can optimize the data that they're getting from all the equipment that they're running on. So, you know, we want to have an episode on that. We wanted to have an episode on front-end engineering and design studies and the impact it can have on a project. So these were campaigns that we were already working around. So that, like, well, these are obvious topics that we should cover. It's our podcast. It's our content. We can say whatever we want. So then it was, let's reach out to who are our subject matter experts. Let's tell them what we want to do. The approach I've taken has been like, let me kind of get the subject idea down, and then we'll develop some questions around it, have a prep call with the subject matter experts, make sure they're comfortable with the questions, make sure I'm not missing anything. And then just making sure they're comfortable, and then we just schedule to record. I also kind of, I think the other really good benefit of the podcast is it allows, and we want our people to shine, but we all, you know, I think the underlying benefit is we can show some personality. So I have added some fun questions into the end of every podcast where we're asking questions like, how would you describe your job to a 5-year-old? This is one of my favorite questions, because how I also need it explained like that for me. but it just allows, the amount of clever answers we get is great. I love that question for a podcast or just for any kind of social post. It's great to make people think, how can I simplify this? And I just think it naturally shows some personality. So that's kind of how we end every episode, is just some random fun questions, which I think just kind of highlight some of the personality behind eTech Group.
Kind of like that. I mean, it really delivers on your notion of using this as a way of fostering some a deeper level of relationship build with employees and prospects or customers. I mean, it's obviously, I'd be curious about switching the order of operations, not to provide you counsel on the show here, but I wonder about showing their personality up front versus at the end.
We have talked about that too, and kind of some of the episodes have started with the question, and then some have ended, and I'm not sure which one is better yet. I appreciate the guidance, because we are, I said, definitely still learning. And
well, my mind was just going to where, you know, I can imagine people really getting interested in the person through that kind of question. And they're already interested probably in the subject matter, or else they wouldn't be tuning in to begin with. So that's kind of interesting. I mean, I like the fact that that you're doing this, and I love the fact that the engineers are playing ball with you here.
It has been so fun, because they, like I said, you get a person talking about something they're passionate about, and they kind of just go. They, you know, you're getting extra information, and I'm learning, which is great. I feel like we're kind of achieving a lot of different things through the episodes, where we get to show the technical expertise, the impact that it has had for a lot of clients on whatever topic they're speaking to. And then, like I said, the brand recognition is hopefully coming as well. So they'll think of eTech Group when they're ready for their next project.
I'm curious how you're looking at extending this strategy when we think about 30 plus global locations and the rapid growth via M&A. It seems to me that that's going to drive a lot of rapid growth in the marketing apparatus of eTech Group as well. And how far your message needs to reach obviously has broadened. How are you thinking about taking this strategy and deploying it more broadly as this M&A is unfolding?
I'm not sure as far as like where it can reach or.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering even like, is there, you know, are we looking at multilingual podcasts now? When you talk about 30 plus countries, and I appreciate that often in industrial automation, people tend to think that the language of business is English, but but still, I'm just, yeah. How are you thinking about using this type of approach to fuel your global ambitions? If you
will? I don't know that we've gotten that far into, we are still mostly North American based. We do have an office in India and Romania. There's one in UK, and we have some satellite locations in Costa Rica and Singapore. Those locations came to us from our recent acquisition of JSAT Automation. And I will be quite honest in that we are still kind of figuring out how we're going to reach international and what we're going to do. The India office and that area have had a couple, they had a marketing department or person on their staff. So they have had some of their own experience with they did one podcast episode, but it wasn't part of like a, I feel like it was just something they maybe put on YouTube and shared out with clients on their own. But they've had some success with Google ads, and that's kind of where their strategy has centered around, which is very interesting because when we ran Google ads, we had zero success with it, but they had quite a bit of success. So I would say that internally we're kind of still figuring out what we're going to do with that. But I think it at some point we will have to start thinking like, okay, how do we translate this to multiple languages? How can we reach people? I don't think we're there. We haven't reached that yet.
To be fair, Jackie, that was an unfair question. I mean, you told us at the start of the show that the acquisition was just kind of just underway here, and I'm asking you how you're integrating it 5 years on. That's not very fair.
Oh, no, you're fine. No, it is conversations we have started, but they're not fully baked yet.
Understood.
You mean there's no Punjabi strategy yet?
Not yet.
How has the reaction been as you've released the episodes, not necessarily with the people who are being featured, but with the business leaders around the globe? What are they on board with it and sharing it as well, or offering up their team members, or are they kind of getting excited about it as a vehicle for telling the story of eTech Group?
I definitely think there is some excitement to it. There. The episode yesterday we announced the integration of JSAT Automation to eTech Group, and we also released an episode on lab automation and industrial robotics for the Beyond Tech podcast, which the lab automation and industrial robotics capability came to us through the JSAT acquisition. So it was a great tie-in to kind of be able to feature this newer capability for eTech Group with the subject matter expert who came from JSAT Automation. This particular capability has gotten a lot of excitement from team members who mostly are focused on in the life science industry, but it is a capability that can be used across life sciences, but also food and beverage and CPG. Anybody who would need a lab can also use this capability, but it's, I would say, mostly right now focused on life sciences. But this capability internally has garnered a lot of excitement from business unit leaders. So they were especially excited about this episode coming out.
That's fascinating because you're really just, we're talking about the podcast, and I think most people hear a podcast and they think, oh, this is a vehicle for obviously engaging external folks, prospects, customers. But as you're describing it, which obviously that it is that, but it's also, it's just a great vehicle for internal communications. You're talking about these business leaders. I mean, they're discovering this kind of capability or kind of the nuance of its delivery, et cetera, as a result of something that arguably most people think is more external. I think that's very cool.
Yeah. So that's one of the, I should kind of maybe back up a little bit. eTech Group was formed by, initially it was four integrators coming together to form eTech Group, but they had offices kind of in different regions throughout the United States. So we had one of the legacy brands was based in Boston, another one based in California. one based in Texas, and they all came together. The other of the four original companies was eTechnologies. They all came together to become eTech Group. And we've since grown with multiple other acquisitions. But because of that, we have people that that's kind of how we got the widespread geographic range of our resources, because they came from multiple local integrators for different areas. But because of that, we are still, we're spread out. It's hard to get the information out across. It's not like we're all in one office where you can kind of just shout down the hall, hey, guess what? We can do this now. And so there is a huge internal element of education, of internal promotion of different capabilities and resources that we have available. And the podcast is a great way that we can reach that. There's also what we're learning is that for anything that we send out externally, and we kind of put together a plan of this is how we're going to put this information out, this is where we're going to promote it, we also need to think about all those same steps internally, because people are busy and are focused on other things. So it's just the same approach internal. How can we hit this message multiple ways? How can we get it in front of them in multiple ways to get them engaged and excited? And I think you're always going to have people who are naturally on board right away. And then we're going to have to get the people to gradually, everybody else kind of join and step in line with, hey, get on board with this, be excited, have fun.
And look, for manufacturing marketers who find themselves in an organization that's undergoing rapid growth via M&A, which is certainly a genre of manufacturers, I think the strategy that you're deploying here is just I think it's just a wonderful bit of secret sauce. The idea of, you know, basically, I so much so that I would say if you're a manufacturing marketer, you find yourself in that rapid M&A environment, steal this playbook.
Well, it's not mine. It's from lots of other smarter people too.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the great thing about stealing is you can steal it multiple times. And start up a podcast where you're interviewing employees, because I mean you're going to drive that level of internal alignment much faster. It's a really interesting strategy of kind of peeling back the curtains, and just makes. I like that it's both about the work and about the people. It's one of the beautiful parts about this.
Yeah, it's been fun and exciting for me.
And anytime that you can co-create something with, you know, with your team and have them excited about it and have other internal people get excited about the idea. And, you know, you mentioned that you're up to 750 people in the organization is 75% engineers. I mean, obviously, they're not all going to want to be on the show, but you've got a pretty unlimited group of potential guests. You know, it'll take you a while to churn through that.
I hope so.
It's a month.
Jackie, as we bring the show to the close, you know, we started by claiming that you were an accidental B2B marketer, but you've certainly made good with that accident. I wonder, what's been the biggest surprise for you?
I'm not sure if I'm going to be answering the question right, but I'll try. I think what I've learned is to stop kind of overthinking things where you don't, like you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't, you know, most of the time I found that I can't screw up worse than not trying or doing anything. So, like I said, I've never started a podcast, and I was like, well, let's figure it out. Let's do it. The same thing with when we first started hosting webinars. I was like, I don't know what all these steps are, but we'll figure it out. And kind of learning from, oh, this didn't go well. What can we improve upon? So just the constant review. And I kind of learned that I don't need to be like stop myself by being afraid of what may happen, but let's just try it and then grow and learn from it. I'd say is kind of that might be more like career advice than a surprise, but.
Well, I think it's really solid career advice, and you know, maybe it's something that B2B marketers can even embrace more than B2C. I mean, as you mentioned, oftentimes in an organization such as Disney, as an example, there's an obsession on the story that's being told, and therefore maybe fewer people get to tell it in the way that they maybe think that they want, or it's more, you know,
can't necessarily influence it as much as you can here.
Right, right. But a B2B marketer, I think you can take those risks and do some new interesting things, and probably a little more open to experiment.
Yeah, that's what I said. One of the great things when I came on board with eTech Group, it was myself and, I came on board to work for my boss, and there was just the two of us. So since then, we've grown and added additional people to the team, and it's been great, but we've been able to kind of build this from the ground up, which is one of the things that I loved when I was interviewing for this. I was like, oh, I can really kind of jump right in here and see what we can do. There isn't anything that we have to follow yet. We're kind of designing the processes ourselves, which has been a challenge, but really rewarding as well.
I look forward to learning more when, you know, you're up to 50 episodes.
And I know. It'd be so exciting. I'll have to invite you guys on.
Look, if anything can tank the show. I appreciate you sharing your experience with us today, Jackie. It's been lovely to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for inviting me. This has been super fun for me as well.
Oh, wonderful to have you on the show.